We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 this evening. And I'll watch the clock to make sure that we do our about 20 minutes, and you don't have to do that. You can pay attention to what the Word is saying. You all understand that the chapter divisions in the Bible are not inspired. They were added by man in an attempt to try to break the Scriptures up into ideas and thoughts and paragraphs and everything else. One of the places where we could do a better chapter division would be at the beginning of chapter 2 in Genesis. Because really, verse 4 of chapter 2 would be a better place to start the chapter. If you follow along, I'm going to read verses 31 of chapter 1 through verse 3 of chapter 2, and this really sums up the creation week. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. On the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which He had created and made. Just to give you a hint, if you're catch on of where I'm going with the devotional message this evening, is I want to start out by saying there's two Sabbaths recorded for us in Scripture where we understand that God rested on a Sabbath. The first one we have is here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The other one we'll get to in a little while. When you read these three verses, you see, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. On the seventh day, God ended all His work which He had done. He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work. There's two thoughts that are emphasized here. One of them is that the work of creation, the work of all of creation, creating, is done at this point. Verse 1 says, all of the host of them were finished. Verse 2 says, He rested from all of His work which He had done. Verse 3 says, in the Sabbath, He rested from all His work which He had created and made. There is nothing left to interpretation or anything else. The work of creation is done. All of it is done. There's nothing else in the way of creating to be done at this point in time. Because the work of creation is done, it's also emphasized here in these three verses. Verse 1 says, all the host of them were finished. Verse 2 says, God ended His work and He rested. Verse 3 says, He rested from all His work. So everything is done, and because it's all done, God ended His work, He rested, He ceased working the work of creation. The emphasis of these three verses is that the work of creation is done. God has ceased from the work of creation. One of the side ideas that we would get from these three verses is that since the work of creation is done, then it's kind of foolish for man to think that he can somehow in a laboratory duplicate or replicate what God did in creation in making life. The creation work is done. There ain't nothing else to be done. It's not going to be done over again. So that's just one of the side notes. That's a freebie. That's just a benefit of what we get from there. It's actually interesting to me how much debate and how much discussion there is on what's going on and what the implications and the meaning of these three verses are. Three short verses, and yet some commentaries just kind of pass over them and don't say a whole lot about them at all. Others want to go one direction with them. Others want to go a different direction with them. And I think that In our circles, most often we read verses 1, 2, and 3 of Genesis chapter 2, and in concept, in the idea that's being talked about, the Sabbath, our minds are drawn to the Jewish Sabbath. We know that God commanded the Jews to observe the Sabbath, and it was part of the law. So, whereas these three verses talk about God resting on the seventh day and God blessing and sanctifying the seventh day, we shift our focus to the Jewish Sabbath under the law. We set our minds at ease by remembering that we're not under the law, and then we just sort of dismiss the passage as having no relevance to us. And we move on and get on with the rest of the interesting and fascinating things in the early chapters of Genesis. I think when we dismiss this in associating it with the Jewish law, we do an injustice to our interpretation of Scripture. Now, I will tell you, I'm not going to resolve in the 15 minutes that's left for this part of the service, I'm not going to resolve all the questions that have come up regarding these three verses, but I do have some thoughts that I think are in line with Scripture and good for us to consider. First of all, these three verses are simply a historical record of what happened. Genesis 1 is what? It's a historical record. It tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. And on through that, we have a historical record. This is no less a historical record than the rest of the creation account. This is what happened. What we need to get a handle on is what the implication, what the meaning is for us of this historical record. After all, why were these things written? They weren't written to entertain us. They weren't written to make us feel good. They weren't written to satisfy our curiosity about why things are the way they are. They're written for our instruction. They're written so that we can learn and know and grow and be better equipped to serve God and more in line with what He wants us to be. What happened in these three verses? God finished His work. He rested. He stopped working. He blessed and sanctified the seventh day. There's no command here. There's no command given. There's no command implied. It's a statement of fact. This is what happened. We don't find a command regarding the Sabbath until we get to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16 is the account where God begins to give manna to the Jewish people after they've left Egypt. They're whining and complaining and everything for food, and God gives them manna, but He gives them a commandment regarding collecting the manna that they're not to collect it on the Sabbath. Now, it's possible, I really haven't been able to get into this that far, but it's possible that in Exodus chapter 16, the way the concept of the Sabbath is presented, that there was already some meaning there. But the first place we find a command regarding the Sabbath is Exodus chapter 16. The next time we find a command regarding the Sabbath is Exodus chapter 20, where we have the Ten Commandments are given. Let me read three verses from Exodus chapter 20. Verses 8 through 11, I guess that's four verses. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but in the seventh day is your Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and He rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Jews are commanded to observe the Sabbath. They're not to do any work. And the basis for them observing the Sabbath is what? It's not something new. It's not something different. But it goes back to the creation account that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and He rested the seventh day. Therefore, He blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it or sanctified it. He made it holy. So the The foundation of the Jewish Sabbath is the creation account. And what I want you to notice is the idea in both Genesis chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 20 that God blessed the Sabbath day and he sanctified it, or he hallowed it, he made it holy. When the law is given to the second generation that came out of Egypt, the first generation died in the 40 years of the wilderness wanderings. The second generation has the law given to them again in their preparation for going into the land. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your ox nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy chapter 5, the re-giving of the law here to the next generation, uses very, very similar terms to talk about the Sabbath day, but it adds something to it. It says, the end of verse 14, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And then verse 15 says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. To this second generation of Jews that's come out of Egypt, God gives a second significance to the observance of the Sabbath. Not only is it a remembrance of God's creative work and an opportunity for rest, and an opportunity for rest not only for them but for their servants, but it's also linked to a memory of the Exodus, which pictures their redemption as a people. So, for the Jews, the significance of the Sabbath was God's work of creation and God's work of redemption. It had both of those significances to it. Now, let me just explain a couple of things that's going on in these three verses in Genesis 2, 1 through 3. First of all, the work of creation was indeed finished the sixth day. There's nothing in the blessing and the sanctifying of the Sabbath day that has anything to do with creation. When it says in verse 2 and verse 3 that God rested, the word there simply means that he ceased from his work. It doesn't have the idea of laying down in a recliner and putting his feet up and relaxing. The idea is simply that he ceased from his work. Because he ceased from his work, he was resting from it. He was no longer doing it. The day that's described here is both the same as and different from the way the days are described for the other 6 days. The differences, I'll give you that first. Most of the days you read of God speaking and something coming into existence. Then God said, let there be light. Then God said, let there be a firmament. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. There's nothing of that here in the seventh day. There's not God speaking and bringing something else into being, because the work of creation is done. God has ceased. He is resting from his work. The day is also not described in the terms of the morning and the evening. All the other days, you read that, so the evening and the morning were the first day. So the evening and morning were the second day. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, the fact that there is no evening and morning causes some confusion. And the idea is that some get out of that. They would say that, well, you know, there's no evening and morning. This isn't talking about a 24-hour day. This is God's eternal rest that he entered into. The problem is that the same word is used, the same Hebrew word. There's no reason to give it a different meaning. In Exodus chapter 20, when the law is given to the Jews and the Sabbath is instituted, you have the 7 days there. So what's being spoken of here is a seventh day very much like the other 6 days. Unfortunately, and this is where some theistic evolutionists might want to go for some theological support, they would say, well, this is obviously an eternal day, and the other days must have been like it, and they were of great duration. No, you don't go there. They're going in the back door to get to their conclusion. You have 7 days, seven normal, natural 24-hour days. Now, the question as to whether God continued his rest or not is a separate question. As far as the days are concerned, this is the seventh day, very much like the other 6 days, 24 hours long. The fact that Scripture doesn't say there was an evening and morning doesn't mean there isn't one, in fact, because it was much like the other ones, there was an evening and a morning. So it's just a normal day. So God rested. He rested because his work was done. He had pronounced that all of creation was very good, and that's why I started reading verse 31. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. It was complete. It functioned in perfect harmony. It glorified him in declaring his power and his greatness and his might and his order and his beauty and his perfection, his wisdom. We can picture God here on the Sabbath as a divine artist, if you will. Having completed his masterpiece, he takes a step back and he simply pauses to enjoy what he's done. And I think that's really, in part, the picture we get from Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, you might see a hint of God's rest being interrupted when we get to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, where it says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made them tunics of skin and clothed them." The word "made them tunics" there is one of the words that's used to describe God's work in his creating the things that he made in Genesis chapter 1. So there is the suggestion, and I think there's something to it, that the rest that God had on the seventh day didn't continue very long because our ancestors messed it up. And, you know, don't be too hard on Adam and Eve, because you would have done the same thing if you were there in their shoes, as would I. So that brings us to the second Sabbath, where I think we find that God rested on the seventh day. And for that, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. The end of Matthew chapter, and since I have 2 minutes left to finish everything that I have in my notes that won't get finished, but will stop, let me just give you this. We have the end of Matthew chapter 27. We have Jesus has been crucified. He's been laid in a tomb. The door to the tomb has been sealed. Verse 28 begins, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." So let me ask you this question, and I'll answer it for you as well. Where was Jesus on the Sabbath? His body was in the tomb. What was he doing? Well, I'd like to suggest that he was resting, waiting until the Sabbath was over, when the women started to come to the tomb. He had already been raised. But I think Jesus rested in the tomb on the seventh day. He rested much as God the Father, God the triune Godhead rested after creation, because the work they had set out to do was finished. There was nothing else left to do. Two Sabbaths that we find where God rested. I'm going to leave you with that thought tonight, and we will we'll pick this up next week and finish the thoughts that I have regarding the significance, what it really means for us, what there is in here regarding Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3.